Welcome to your wrestling nostalgia portion of the show. We're going to get things going with a really fun topic today. Looking at the Ruthless Aggression era, what were the top five moments, at least in our eyes? We're going to get to that and some other stuff right after this. Hey guys, so retirement may or may not be something that you're really thinking about, but even if you are years and years away, I mean, I'm 20 years away from retirement, but it's something that we should all be thinking about. There's a company that has retirement plans that you can invest in precious metals like gold, silver, and cryptocurrency. There's also a big opportunity to grow retirement and grow income for either your personal or a business. And anyone who signs up at this website receives a free investment kit and gift. So what is this website? It's brightmoneyinvestments.com. That's brightmoneyinvestments.com. You can diversify and grow with metals and cryptos, and you can even talk to someone there to get a better idea of what you should be investing in. So head on over to brightmoneyinvestments.com.
It's time for your weekly fix of wrestling nostalgia when we look at wrestling's past eras from the Attitude Era. To the Reality Era.
I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead. But the fact is, it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family.
To today. Here on the WWE Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to the WWE Podcast on this Wednesday, July 15th, 2020. Hope everyone's doing well as we continue on here and creep towards Extreme Rules, the horror show, which is this coming Sunday. A couple of four days away to be exact. So looking forward to reviewing that show, watching the show, to be honest. There's a lot on the show that makes me very interested in the outcome. This show does not seem very predictable in several areas. So we're going to do a full review show on Saturday with a co-host, and that will be a full review where we give our predictions and thoughts on the pay-per-view. And then I'm also considering Monday doing a review show. I normally don't do shows on Monday, but given that there's a pay-per-view on Sunday, I might do a review show on Monday, and then Tuesday would be your normal Raw review. So keep that in mind as we go along here. And also, if you're looking for me on Facebook, I just had my second Facebook page taken down. I guess the reason is that it was too similar to the first one that got taken down with no explanation. So, I'm not using anybody's logo on this page. It's my own logo. Nothing was really put up. I was just getting it going. So I am down to Instagram. Facebook is now dead to me. Twitter is dead to me. We are now on Instagram. That's my last source of social media at WWE_podcast. So that is really the means of my communication with you guys on a direct basis, other than here, obviously. So keep that in mind. I'm going to be trying to do other social media platforms that are out there. I know Twitch is out there, some other video formats that are new. And so just keep in mind that I may not be on some major platforms because somebody has it out for me. I don't know what it is. I'm not sure, but we're still going to be here. They can't silence us here, I'll tell you that much. This is a place that they can't do jack about. So here we're here, and I hope you guys are ready because this is going to be a fun show. And we're taking a look back at the Ruthless Aggression era that was from 2002 to 2008. As you remember, WWE went PG in mid-2008. So we had a good 6 years of the Ruthless Aggression era. And this, again, setting the stage, most of us, I'm not going to say all, lived through the Attitude Era, right? It was the most well-known era in, I think, pro wrestling history. And you had the biggest names that you can think of working all at once. And it was the Monday Night War era, if you want to reframe it that way. And that went through 2001. It was really 96, 97 through 2001, a good 4 years of the Attitude Era. And we had some holdovers rolling into 2002. You still had Stone Cold Steve Austin. He was still around at least for another year until he retired at March 29th, 2003 in Seattle, Washington. So we still had Stone Cold roaming around. We actually had him on hiatus actually during this time because of his walkout with Brock Lesnar. So that actually took place too during this time as Austin went and took his ball and went home for 8 months. So we had that, and The Rock was still here, although starting to dip his toe into Hollywood for sure. He was kind of in and out and starting to transition out of being a full-time WWE wrestler to just a box office attraction and one of the most successful men in Hollywood ever, as we know him today. So that was 18 years ago. So this was the time again. You also had the WCW, ECW invasion. We had the NWO finally make their debut with Hogan, Nash, and Scott Hall coming in and invading WWE. As Vince McMahon famously said, he's going to inject poison into his own creation. If you remember that promo that Vince McMahon did, I remember it very well on SmackDown. He was talking to himself in a mirror. And eventually throughout, it was a thread throughout the show. He was talking to himself. You're wondering what the hell this is all about. And it comes to be that it was the NWO he was talking about injecting poison, is the phrase I believe he used. So that was the debut of the NWO. Goldberg eventually made his long-awaited debut in WWE as well. There was a lot of big moments. Brock Lesnar, right? Brock Lesnar was one of the first from the most well-known OVW classes, right? That's we all remember Batista, John Cena, Brock Lesnar, all in the same OVW class. And Batista was a part of Evolution, as we know, and would be a breakout star from Evolution. But you have on the other side John Cena, who came in and really kicked things off against Kurt Angle. In one of the most famous lines in John Cena's career, which is his very first line, saying, after Kurt Angle asked him, "What is the one quality you possess that makes you think you have a chance?" Right, and John Cena famously said, "Ruthless aggression," and slapped Kurt Angle. So a lot of iconic moments. We had HBK also coming back full time, something we never thought we'd see. So without giving away the farm, and these are just things off the top of my head, this is a list that is my own, right? I mean, I did pull from others' ideas of what they think was the top five, but I did not duplicate anyone's order of anything. These are things that come to mind from a mix of other lists that I agree and disagree with and my own thoughts and memories of that time. By the way, I'm interested. What's on your list? Who's on your list? What moments are on your list with the Ruthless Aggression era? Again, 2002 to 2008. Curious to know. RealWWEPodcast@gmail.com. If you want to share your thoughts on your list, if you could create a top five list of moments, what would that be? This to me is not the end all be all. I'd like to know what other people think, because it makes me go, oh, that's right. I know that my list is very subjective. So by all means, let me know what you think. You can hit me up on Instagram at WWE_podcast. And also one more thing on a side note, with the pay-per-view coming up Sunday, would you guys be interested in a live watch party of sorts? Meaning I would stream live on Instagram, because that's really the only place I can go right now, and just see my reactions live, right? See my thoughts and my instant reactions to the matches and things going on. Just curious. I've never done anything like that, so it could be like super weird, but we'll see. I mean, let me know. Okay, so let's get into this thing. Let's jump into the ruthless aggression. I'm going to have to figure out a way to say that without stuttering. I don't know why ruthless aggression is hard to say. Maybe I'm just stupid. I don't know. Okay, let's get into it. Number 5. Wow. Okay. So just watching that, I mean, I could watch that whole segment for over and over. And so number 5 comes in, Eddie Guerrero winning the championship against Brock Lesnar at No Way Out 2004. I've done a whole podcast on the whole wrestling nostalgia on this moment, so I'm not going to go into too much detail about it other than to say it was a moment that in retrospect or in the moment, you know, you felt it, you understood it, and you knew that you were seeing something special. But in retrospect, it means even more, right? Because of the events that would take place in 2005 with his passing. And so when you look back, you realize just how big that moment was. I mean, defeating Brock Lesnar, obviously there was an assist from Goldberg, with Goldberg interfering and spearing Brock Lesnar, that helped out Eddie Guerrero to capitalize, DDT Brock onto the championship, and then hit a frog splash for the victory. So, yes, he was aided, but that's forgotten. You know, it's not the first thing I think of, and just because he was aided doesn't really spoil the party for me. Even though he's a babyface, I get it. But Brock Lesnar was wearing thin, I think, on the fans' list of heels. I think that Brock Lesnar was at that time starting to wear thin. It was clear that he was on his way out. Rumors swirling around for many months before that. I remember reading things on the internet, and it's nothing like it was today or is today. I mean, today you can get pretty reliable information on the internet from the four big websites. We all know who and what they are. So no, you're not getting free advertising on the show, but it wasn't like it is today, right? Back then, I remember going online and going to the typical website, and you'd always see like clickbait, right? You'd see something crazy, and it was just something to get you to click to go to the next website, like Stone Cold injured and out for 6 months. And you click on it and there's no such story. It's just to get you to go to another website. Anybody remember that? Today, that is much less prevalent. It's just a lot of copy and paste news websites. And like I said, the four big websites that are very, very reliable for news about wrestling. So that was swirling about before Brock Lesnar was on his way out. I mean, we all saw the results at WrestleMania 20 with Brock Lesnar getting the na 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 na, hey hey hey, goodbye, right? We saw the whole thing. I was there participating in that, and it was very real. It was the worst kept secret in WWE at that time. Brock was interested in trying out for football. The travel and dealing with people constantly just did not jive with who Brock Lesnar is. I was going to say was, but that's who Brock Lesnar is and continues to be. So that, in retrospect, does not surprise me. He's got the sweetest gig ever right now, just getting paid 7 figures to sit on his farm in Montana or wherever he's at in his cubbyhole for 8 months out of the year, and pops up to WWE for the big four pay-per-views like SummerSlam, Survivor Series, Rumble, and Mania. And hey, you know what? People hate on him for that. I'm jealous of him for that, right? That's the life you want to live. You want to do as little work as possible and get paid the most amount of money. That's just kind of human nature. I don't think anyone's like, I want to get paid only what I earn. I mean, let's be real. So Brock Lesnar certainly is living the dream, so to speak, to be really cliche. And so that's Brock Lesnar currently. But this moment meant so much, and especially for Eddie Guerrero's career, to get that moment, to be able to share it, his family at ringside. And if anyone hasn't seen that match, what are you doing? Number one, go see the damn match. It is, it's one of those matches that, and I've mentioned this in my review of this, or my nostalgia episode of this, in a complete review, that the fans were into going in, but it's a match that brought you in even more as the story went on, because they told such an awesome story. It was so perfectly told, and there's no better reaction that you can get than at the end of the match, the fans in unison chant, counting the 1, 2, 3. And how you know it's in unison is there's a pause and silence between each number. If you listen to that clip, you heard it. It's 1 and silence, 2 silence, 3, and then people explode. That's how you know. I can't even remember the last time I heard something like that in today's environment, in the modern era, whatever era we're in. I guess we're still in the PG era. This is a hell of a long era, isn't it? I believe it's still the PG era. I know the reality era happened as well. But what era would you call this? Maybe I'm not thinking of the term, but it was the PG era that we're still in. But then it was the reality era with CM Punk. So whatever we're in now. But my point is, I can't remember the last time I heard that in today's product. And it shows you, too, that you don't have to have a 1,000-mile-an-hour match to have a excellent, memorable match. Because it's the moves, when done less, that mean more. And I'm not going to rant about it. You guys know how I feel. I have ranted many a time about how I feel regarding the current product of in-ring competition. And so I won't go into that. However, I will say that this was the thing of brilliance. You didn't see any suicide dives from Eddie Guerrero. Even though he was a smaller guy, you didn't see 450 splashes, right? Even his finish was pretty straightforward, just basically a splash. And he was a technician, but he wasn't a stuntman, so to speak, that so many of the competitors today present to be. It's an overemphasis on athleticism today, where it was an emphasis on story and an emphasis on pacing in the past eras that really lent itself to be able to slowly tell a story that you want to tell. There was no rushing involved. For the most part, it was just a nicer, easier way. So if you go back and watch, again, you didn't have to have any suicide dives to have a 4-star match. I mean, it was, I don't know if I give it 5. 5 is tough. 5 out of 5, I reserve for just the top tier, like HBK Taker at 25, right? Like, that to me is 5 out of 5. But so there it is. Number 5 is Eddie Guerrero winning the WWE Championship from Brock Lesnar at No Way Out 2004. Okay, let's get to number 4 on my list of top moments of the Ruthless Aggression era.
Dominator, there's no doubt about it.
Who's next? Who's next?
The man that buried his own brother. What the hell?
And I'm playing that clip. This isn't the actual moment, but it's one of the moments that led to the moment of Undertaker returning as the Dead Man after being the American Badass for nearly 4 years at that point. Big Evil and being babyface and heel. That moment at the Rumble is one of two moments that I'm kind of sharing as one with the Undertaker's kind of transformation back to the Dead Man. If you remember, back in that time, Kane had unmasked, which is a moment in and of itself. but he also buried The Undertaker at Survivor Series when he was facing Vince McMahon in a buried alive match, turned on his own brother, buried him alive, hence the character transformation back to the dead man. Makes perfect sense. Great storytelling there. And so we had Kane, who was in denial now, and you listen to that pop. I remember hearing that pop. I remember seeing the crowd lose their minds when Kane was dominating the Rumble. And the next opponent up was, I mean, the lights went out and the gong. I mean, listen to that reaction. Listening it to through my mic doesn't do it justice. It's one of those just kind of quick moments that are just quick, like goosebump moments. So that was part one. Part two of this was when The Undertaker returned as the dead man at the at WrestleMania 20. And, well, let's take a listen to that. I don't want to deny you the audio. So I'll kind of stop it there, but I mean, I just kind of got lost myself watching that. Having The Undertaker come back, you know, as the dead man was such a big deal. And I know it, you know, today it's just kind of what you expect because he's been the dead man since 2004, right? He had that 4-year lapse of becoming the American Badass. And then since 2004, 16 years later, he's still the dead man. And it's a gimmick that, well, just could, it's still the test of time. It's been good for 30 years, and you know, seeing him after 4 years come back as the dead man, I remember how big of a moment that was, because we're all kind of wondering, hey, is that guy still there? We were getting a little bit, I guess, worn out of the American Badass character. I think it had done everything it needed to do. And having Kane face Undertaker again at WrestleMania, if you remember, their first encounter was 1998 at WrestleMania 14 in Boston. So having this happen 6 years later was very apropos. Undertaker getting the victory was how it had to happen. Kane was in denial. And the icing on the cake for me was seeing Paul Bearer, right? How, probably one of the best managers of all time. Paul Bearer, while he wasn't as, I guess, talented on the mic as, say, a Jim Cornette or a Bobby the Brain Heenan who could take a bump, or Paul Heyman for that matter, or Zelina Vega, he had a just a perfect presence about him. Kind of the creepy, mysterious, obnoxious at times, just perfect voice for the business, and really added so much to The Undertaker's character. So seeing him was a surprise, and you know, you had wondered, what's he going to look like? You know, because we hadn't seen The Undertaker since he got buried alive at Survivor Series. He took off from Survivor Series until WrestleMania. So there was this long gap of, where is he? Is he going to look the same? What's going to happen? And for, you know, for weeks, Undertaker was playing mind games with Kane, but he never showed his face. Undertaker never showed up till WrestleMania. I love that. I loved that. It kept people wanting to see him. If you're trying to generate pay-per-view buys, which was definitely a thing back in 2004, there was no WWE Network. That's what you want to do. You want people on the hook. You want to be thinking about trying to get people to, you know, buy the pay-per-view. And that's how you do it. And the Undertaker was a big, big draw. So they really, and I was wondering too, what about his hair, right? Because he had really cut it short to be the American Badass, really short. And I think he did the best he could in, you know, 3-4 months to grow out his hair the best he could. And over the next several months that he came and went right back to the original Undertaker character in terms of look and everything else. And so it was just a great moment. So there it is, Undertaker returning as the Dead Man, I guess is what I'll call it, rather than just a specific moment. It's just a, I guess it's a moment at WrestleMania 20 to face Kane. And I guess also being there live in Madison Square Garden as I was, it made it that much more special to see him live in the Garden at WrestleMania. And those, again, this is prior to your every year being a stadium WrestleMania. This is prior to that, where you could still have WrestleMania in a big city, but not at the stadium. So, all right, that is number four, but here it comes. Number three. So it's the thumbs down moment, right? Number three is the thumbs down moment. Very iconic moment in Batista's career where he officially split from Evolution to go off on his own and have a singles career that was extremely successful. Yeah, he wasn't the best on the mic, but he had a presence. He was really good in the ring. And I think on his own was where he really shined. And, you know, his time with Evolution was certainly time well worth spent. I mean, he came in as the deacon. If you remember with Devon Dudley, he was the deacon carrying around some box, like a chain around his neck or something. And he became the Animal, became Batista. And he was at that time organically becoming a fan favorite anyway. People were clamoring for him to face Triple H at the Royal Rumble. It came down to him and John Cena. And he ended up throwing out John Cena. And at that time, you were thinking, all right, Triple H is still champion. What does Batista do? And we're all thinking, yeah, he's probably going to face Triple H. But at least he teased that maybe he's going to stick with Evolution and stay true to Flair and Triple H. But it was a nice kind of poetic justice for Triple H, who had turned on Orton just a year earlier. And after Orton had won his first championship, remember when Batista had Orton on his shoulders, and then Triple H was giving the thumbs up, gives the thumbs down, and tells Batista now, drops Orton, and Orton becomes, you know, his own single star. I mean, so that's how groups are supposed to run. Groups and factions are meant to build single stars. That's their function. That's the way they should be. Very few groups, factions, whatever, are meant to stand the test of time as just groups and nothing more. You could point to the New Day as an exception to the rule, although the argument to that would be they are leaving out a potentially big star like Big E, right? That, I mean, that's a whole other discussion for another day. But the point is that factions are meant to build single stars. That's where the true money is. That's where the star-making power is. That's where the needle-moving is in singles competition. So this was a huge moment for Batista in his career. Certainly worked out well facing Triple H at WrestleMania 21 and defeating Triple H at WrestleMania 21. And just a really good story here. And so anyway, that is number three. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to get to my top two moments of the Ruthless Aggression era.
You're listening to the WWE Podcast. We'll be right back after this short break.
Hey, guys. So retirement may or may not be something that you're really thinking about, but even if you are years and years away, I mean, I'm 20 years away from retirement, but it's something that we should all be thinking about. There's a company that has retirement plans that you can invest in precious metals like gold, silver, and cryptocurrency. There's also a big opportunity to grow retirement and grow income for either your personal or a business. And anyone who signs up at this website receives a free investment kit and gift. So what is this website? It's brightmoneyinvestments.com. That's brightmoneyinvestments.com. You can diversify and grow with metals and cryptos, and you can even talk to someone there to get a better idea of what you should be investing in. So head on over to brightmoneyinvestments.com.
Welcome back to the WWE Podcast. Let's get back to more great wrestling audio.
Alrighty, let's get to that number two spot, because it's a big one. One that I'm sure many of you are going to probably say, wow, that's worth having or worth mentioning. It's probably an honorable mention, but I wouldn't make it number two. But I'll explain why I made this number two, and I think you'll enjoy this one. So let's take a listen, and I'll catch you on the other side of this.
This individual is cashing in his money and the bank privilege that he earned at WrestleMania. WWE Championship match will take place right here, right now.
Oh, my.
John Cena defends against Edge.
He's the human.
Well, I thought, and I said it earlier tonight, are you kidding me? That Edge would use it at WrestleMania. But Edge is cashing in. And casting it in big time when John Cena is at his weakest.
No, baby.
Turn around, Johnny boy. Turn around. No. It's over.
Edge is just waiting on the WWE Champion. He's waiting on him.
Kick out.
He hit the spear. He hit the spear. Edge hit the spear. Come on. Two.
No. Did he get him?
No, he didn't.
How in the world did John Cena kick out of that? Was it a three or a two?
It was a two. It was a two. And Edge is in total disbelief.
I don't think Edge is the only one in disbelief. After all that Cena's gone through. Look at Edge now. He can't believe it.
The disbelief now turning to frustration and anger. You can see the face of Edge changing.
Oh, no, not another spear. But I guess Edge figures that's what it's going to take.
Edge will spear John Cena over and over again if he has to.
Oh, no! And again!
Cover! He got him! And my God, what has happened here tonight?
Are you WWE Champion? believe it! I can't believe it! This was indeed a historical night!
Edge has shocked the world!
Well, I'll tell you what he's done. He's stolen the damn title!
This moment was significant for so many reasons, right? John Cena was kind of the resident champion. John Cena was the guy to beat. He had become the guy very quickly. And it really took its toll, I think, on fans. And to this day, I think it still does, that he never had a heel turn. Same with Roman Reigns, among others. And having Edge, the very first time, cash in for the Money in the Bank, won it at WrestleMania, and cashed in at New Year's Revolution 2006. I was in attendance. Again, I'm a little bit biased, but having Edge win, listen to the crowd. I'm sure WWE did not expect that reaction to Edge winning, and it was a hell of a moment. And it's important because, number one, it established Edge as a legitimate top-tier guy. Yes, he won it in a little bit of a heel fashion, but that's those are the rules of the Money in the Bank. Why would you not take advantage? Only a fool would make it hard for himself. And Edge did exactly what the match and that briefcase was designed to do, to take advantage of opportunity. And that's exactly what he did. He's the ultimate opportunist, right? So with Lita by his side, Edge cashes in. The crowd explodes because John Cena had just survived the chamber, to the dismay of the audience in attendance and yours truly. And then Edge comes out, and it's interesting how he cashes in, right? It's such a different methodology now, where in 2006, the way you cashed in was Vince coming out and announcing it. Now it's having a referee there just by chance, and you can just cash in whenever a referee is just there. So it was a very iconic moment in Edge's career. I still am very proud of the reaction that my hometown gave Edge at that moment, because it was a true emotion towards Edge. I remember even during the Elimination Chamber match, before any of this had happened, I was sitting right behind Lillian Garcia with the friends that I was with at the time, and she was listening to not just us, but really the entire crowd just completely turn on John Cena. And we were yelling at John Cena and just booing the hell out of him. And she turned around to us and said, tell me how you really feel, right? That's all she said. I mean, but it was, I think she was a little bit turned off by the fact that we weren't going along with the proposed WWE narrative that we're supposed to cheer John Cena. Now, we're not the first crowd, and weren't the first crowd to boo him. It happened at WrestleMania against Triple H. We know that. But it was a great thing to hear and see. And for Edge's career, it was the biggest moment he had up to that point. Certainly. And really just skyrocketed him to the next level. Ended up facing Undertaker for the World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania 23, I believe it was, in Orlando. He had several championship matches against John Cena that were memorable. Those two had, a program that, yeah, it got worn out towards the end, but John Cena and Edge, they had a hell of a chemistry together. So that program went on also for many months. So again, that moment to me was really significant. A little bit biased that I was there, and I'm sure it's not on most people's top five, but I just wanted to put that on there. Before I get to the number one, I want to just make sure I'm following the typical format of a top five list and have some honorable mentions. I'll speak tonight, I promise. That would be HBK's return in 2002 to face Triple H at SummerSlam 2002 in a losing effort. He won, I'm sorry, but lost at the end when Triple H tried to cripple him with a sledgehammer. They went on to have some of the best programs you've ever seen. Their Last Man Standing match at the Royal Rumble in 2004 was absolutely outstanding. Their Bad Blood, I think it was at Bad Blood, their two out of three falls match was utterly insanely good. They had so many other encounters, and so HBK's return, certainly an honorable mention. Eric Bischoff becoming the general manager of Raw. Stone Cold becoming the co-general manager of Raw. Evolution's turn on Randy Orton was certainly another big moment. We had so many big things that happened that it's hard to really pick out five. I had a difficult time even going through other people's lists. Nobody chose this moment as number one. So amazingly, this was not number one. And no, it's not Shawn Michaels saying "I love you" to Ric Flair as he retired Ric Flair at WrestleMania 23. That's not that. Although that is certainly an honorable mention, no doubt. Why don't we listen to the biggest moment in the Ruthless Aggression era, as put forth by the WWE podcast. All right, so I'll get to another clip, obviously, but I think you know what that's from. That is WrestleMania 19. That is in Seattle, Washington, March 29th. And having Stone Cold in his final match ever against The Rock at WrestleMania, going out on top, staying retired, even more impressive. And to be honest, that would be the number one question I would like to ask Stone Cold, right? If I could get him on this show, I would ask him probably as a final question. I know you would not return to the ring. I know that question has been answered many times, that it's not I'm not asking you if you're coming back. My question would be, have you been tempted by any offers to come back since 2003? Were there ever any moments from 2003 to 2020 that something was presented to you that you said, and actually slept on it and maybe got close to coming out of retirement? Was there anything that maybe you were really close on? That's what I'd like to ask, because at this point, he's not coming out of retirement. It's sealed. It's locked. It's done. But that would be the question I would ask is, who was the closest? What was the biggest, or not number-wise in terms of money, but in terms of a program, what was presented to you that you almost caved in and came out of retirement? Was there anything that happened that was presented to you that you would have come out? So that would be what I asked. But this to me is the number one moment. And it was a moment we didn't know we were experiencing, because we didn't know that Stone Cold was actually truly retiring in this moment. And I didn't know it, right? I didn't know it. I think that most of the people at home didn't know it. Stone Cold the next night got fired by Eric Bischoff on Monday Night Raw, only to return as the co-general manager of Monday Night Raw to work with Eric Bischoff, which I think was a great stretch there. And then he came back as the sheriff. I remember that. So, and Stone Cold as an authority figure is always fun. He's guest refereed God knows how many times. Special enforcer. He's done a Stone Cold Court with Muhammad Hassan. He's done a lot of that kind of like gimmicky stuff since then. And that's the best we're going to get from Stone Cold. And that's fine. But this was a significant moment. How can it not be number one? You know, and I say that because the biggest star in the history of pro wrestling, any industry, any era, it's the retirement match against his biggest opponent, an opponent that allowed the best to come out in both. Guys, how can this not be your number one spot, right? So let's listen to some of the closing moments from this match as Stone Cold was officially retired.
How many men can you name that have tipped out of the rock bottom? It's a short list, folks. Let me tell you, and look at the intensity of the great one. That's a look of determination. The Rock is determined to beat Stone Cold Steve Austin here at WrestleMania. You got to do it, Rock. Austin's knee has been
has been ripped. He just suffered from a rock bottom. Another rock bottom. Also trying desperately out of it. And look, pull right back in. And rock bottom. Rock bottom two. That's got to be it. The second rock bottom. That's bottom being done. Stop. My God, I don't believe it.
I don't either.
My God, I don't believe it.
This referee can't count to three.
And the Rock doesn't believe it. It ain't got nothing King to do with mathematics.
Come on, Rock.
Just kicked out.
Get up, Rock. Get to your feet and stomp a mud hole in that rattlesnake.
Uh-oh, look at the Rock. He's ticked out. This is it, JR.
Two rock bottoms. Austin kicked out of them both. The will to win by Austin is unparalleled. But the time of the Rock.
Not another
paralleled as well.
Look at the Rock. He's like the Scorpion King. He's coiled. He's coiled to strike.
Austin, you'll have a shorter distance to fall after you get this rock bottom.
Austin's up somehow, some way. And the Rock, is he going to do it? Not the third time.
The third time's a charm. Big one.
So, whew, what a moment. And a moment that we didn't know, again, that we experienced until we look back in retrospect and then go, whoa, right? We go, that was the last time we would ever see Stone Cold compete in a match in a ring. So, to me, that is the biggest moment. I don't have any issues with it. Again, so many other big moments that happened. HBK versus Hogan. Things like that, and the oversell of the century. If anybody remembers Hogan versus HBK at SummerSlam 2005, I believe it was the most oversold match of all time by HBK. It was just absolutely insane. It's hysterical, but it's also kind of sad to watch that. So I don't know what you guys thought about that list. Again, it's very subjective. So many moments. It's really hard to pick out five from a subset of years. That's what, 6 years or whatever it was that it lasted, the Ruthless Aggression era. So not easy. Certainly not easy to pick out five. And, you know, it's not the easiest thing to do. And I'm sure your list does not come anywhere near mine in terms of identical listing of moments. So with that said, just a little bit more news here, I guess, with Kevin Owens back on Raw, it appears that WWE has some bigger plans for him. And this is according to Wrestling Observer Radio, Dave Meltzer discussing Kevin Owens' role backstage. And basically that he was the reason why Vince McMahon changed the mask policy. And while Owens did not exactly make a final stand on the issue, he was indeed no longer going to wrestle if the policy did not change. This was important because Owens is written into the show, and if Mysterio does not sign a new contract, Owens and Rollins is planned to be the new program. And so Owens defeated Rollins on Raw this week. It was noted that Owens is figured high on the card. I will say this. I'm not looking forward to an Owens and Rollins match if that happens again. I really am not. We saw that kind of play out through WrestleMania. It had a nice conclusion to it, a satisfying conclusion to it. So if Owens and Rollins is truly next, I don't know if I'm really digging it. I've kind of seen it, been there, done that. And Owens also beat Rollins on Raw. So am I really looking forward to another match between these two? I don't know. I mean, things right now, I'd say no. I know they put on good matches, but to me, I value good story over good matches, right? And that to me is that supersedes the quality of the matches is story. So I don't know, something to chew on. We'll have to see what Kevin Owens' role is, especially on Sunday if he shows up at all. Probably not. And then maybe he does in a role in a way to help maybe Rey Mysterio in his match on Sunday, but we'll have to see. Alrighty, well, again, guys, I will be back on Saturday with your full Extreme Rules pay-per-view preview with a co-host. Tomorrow, though, we will have your AEW and NXT reviews. And then Friday is your HSV SmackDown review. And Saturday, I just told you what that is. Sunday is the pay-per-view. And I'm also, as I said, I'm toying with the idea of going live on Instagram or some other format, or at least, I don't know, something. I got to find something to do while the show is going on. And we'll have to see. I know I do have a rogue Twitter account, but it's, I don't know. We'll have to see. We'll have to see how things play out. But let me know what you guys think. Let me know what you guys want. You guys are the listeners. Do you want me on live stream? Do you want me on a specific app? Again, I can't do Facebook and I can't do Twitter. So pick another platform, and maybe it's Instagram. Follow me there at WWE_podcast. Email me, though, realwwepodcast@gmail.com. If you want your audio on the show or you want a comment, question, suggestion, rant, whatever, that's the place to do it. You can also hit me up at WWEpodcast.com. All right. Well, with all that said, guys, thanks so much. I'll talk to you on Saturday with our Extreme Rules pay-per-view preview. Until then, I'll talk to you next time. Hey, guys. So retirement may or may not be something that you're really thinking about, but even if you are years and years away, I mean, I'm 20 years away from retirement, but it's something that we should all be thinking about. There's a company that has retirement plans that you can invest in precious metals like gold, silver, and cryptocurrency. There's also a big opportunity to grow retirement and grow income for either your personal or a business. And anyone who signs up at this website receives a free investment kit and gift. So what is this website? It's brightmoneyinvestments.com. That's brightmoneyinvestments.com. You can diversify and grow with metals and cryptos, and you can even talk to someone there to get a better idea of what you should be investing in. So head on over to brightmoneyinvestments.com.
Thanks for listening to the WWE podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show, or head to wwepodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWE podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.